As the 225th anniversary of the signing of the U.S. Constitution passes, we think of the Bill of Rights, most notably Amendment 1, freedom of speech or freedom of the press, and Amendment 2, the right of people to keep and bear arms. L.C. Morris has this report on gun control laws in North Carolina.
For civilians, the right to bear arms has and will continue to be a contentious topic, as a growing number of organizations call for more gun control laws. Ladd Everett is the communications director for the Coalition to Stop Gun Violence.
It's really bad. I think the important point to understand here is that there is no other democracy on the face of the earth that endures the type of gruesome daily shootings that we see here in the United States. We are the aberration. There is no other free nation on the face of the earth that has failed to address this problem like we have failed.
The Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, or CSGV, seeks to secure freedom from gun violence through research, strategic engagement, and effective policy advocacy.
The short answer is we simply don't have many laws in place.
Gun control is any law, policy, practice, or proposal designed to restrict or limit the possession, production, importation, shipment, sale, and/or use of guns or other firearms by private citizens. Most commonly, the guns in question are personal firearms, typically handguns and long guns.
When you look at the nation on a federal level, or if you look at North Carolina specifically, you know, I think what's important to understand is that there are really two parallel streams of gun commerce that are happening around us on a daily basis. When we think of buying a gun, most of us tend to think of going into a gun store, right? You walk into Bob's Guns, and, you know, Bob is a federally licensed firearms dealer. And when you go in, you undergo that instant computer check. And if you pass that check, you then get your gun. That's one way to buy a gun in this country. But in your own state, for example, North Carolina, and about 40 or more other states, you can buy a gun through a private sale, where a private individual, a private firearm seller, is legally allowed to sell you that gun without conducting any background check or maintaining any paper record of that sale.
Purchasing a legal firearm from a licensed dealer means adhering to federal and state requirements, which include a background check. However, a person-to-person sale can be made with no type of background check at all. Even with certain background checks in place, such as searching for evidence of mental commitment, wanted persons, or domestic violence offenders, Everett says the information is not detailed enough.
Number one, the screening is incredibly narrow. It's all it is an instant computer check. It is not a background investigation. It is something that is over in a matter of minutes. And if the databases that are checked do not find a disqualifying record, all the gun dealer would see is approve or deny on a computer screen. They're not seeing anything about your background. The FBI NICS database, which is supposed to maintain disqualifying records from around the states, is missing millions of records that the states have yet to submit to it. So very often, people who should be prohibited are being approved through this system.
Recent high-profile shootings, such as the July 2012 Batman movie massacre in Colorado, bring the issue of mental competency to the forefront of the gun control issue.
The criteria for being prohibited based on mental health reasons is very narrow. The only two categories of Americans for mental health reasons who would be prohibited from buying guns are those who have been involuntarily committed, forced to go into a mental institution, or those who have been formally adjudicated by a court either as mental incompetence or as a threat to themselves or others. In the universe of severely mentally ill Americans, very, very few fall into one of those two narrow categories. And if you do not, you can legally stockpile all the guns you want. And again, that gun dealer sees nothing about your background. When James Holmes, for example, or Jared Loughner, or Sung-hee Cho, when these mentally ill mass shooters went in and legally bought guns, some of them on multiple occasions, the dealer saw absolutely nothing about their mental health history. All they saw was a blip on a screen that said approve.
In August of this year, White supremacist shooter and former Fort Bragg Army soldier Wade Michael Page went on a rampage at a Sikh temple in suburban Milwaukee, killing 6 people. According to the Fayetteville Observer, Page obtained 5 permits in North Carolina to purchase pistols in 2008. The North Carolina Rifle and Pistol Association requires all intended handgun recipients obtain a pistol purchase permit from the local sheriff at a cost of $5 per permit.
Well, I mean, for the most part, if you're talking about a semi-automatic firearm, which would be a firearm that basically fires one bullet with each pull of the trigger, those guns are wide open available on the civilian market. And you know, you could buy, for example, you mentioned, I think, an AK-47. You could buy semi-automatic AK-47s or AR-15s or virtually any other modern current battlefield rifle you could imagine through federally licensed dealers, or you could buy them through private sales without undergoing any background check at all. When you talk about weapons that fire with select fire, which means they can fire either on semi-automatic fire or through full automatic fire, which means when you squeeze that trigger down and hold it, it will continue to spray fire from the gun until you release the trigger. Those guns are regulated more strictly in the United States. You do need a special license.
Special interest groups, primarily in the United States, exert political pressure for and against legislation limiting the right to keep and bear arms. The largest pro-gun advocacy group is the National Rifle Association and its political wing, the NRA Institute for Legislative Action. The NRA has been described as one of the largest and most powerful political special interest groups in the United States.
So basically what the NRA is a bunch of right-wing conservative power players linked directly in with the gun industry. And their concern, they have two concerns, primary concerns. One is to profit from their very intimate and close ties with the gun industry. And when you look at the guys that run that organization, like Wayne LaPierre and Chris Cox, we're talking about millionaires here. Guys that are raking in well over $1 million every year from that profession. And their second interest is to essentially have their constituency serve as shock troops on a range of different right-wing causes.
Alan Gottlieb is the founder of the nation's largest and oldest tax-exempt nonprofit, the Second Amendment Foundation. The foundation has been a pioneer in innovative defense of the right to keep and bear arms through its publications, public education programs, and legal action. Gottlieb says there is a reason why politics plays a role. 80 million gun owners equal 80 million voters.
Well, the reason why the gun rights movement is so strong in this country and so politically active is the fact we have, you know, upwards of 80 million firearms owners across the country that want to protect their rights. And so when the other side, you know, comes out and talks about how there's an evil, powerful organization doing all this lobbying or gun manufacturers doing this lobbying, what they're not taking into effect is that 80 million gun owners vote, and that's what makes it a potent political force in this country. When 80 million people want to protect their rights and vote to protect those rights, politicians pay attention and consider, you know, what it might take to get reelected. And as a result, that's why the gun rights movement is so politically potent.
Gottlieb says the laws that are in place are good and tight, and agrees that there is room for improvement when it comes to mental competency and owning a firearm.
Well, the laws that are in place that determine if you can pass a background check or not are good, and they're pretty solid. The problem we have is that in cases of mental illness, sometimes those records are not getting into the database when people are attempting to buy firearms. And that's a problem that we have in the record keeping and law enforcement. It's not a reason to have new laws put in place. It's probably a reason to try and make sure the data is not corrupted. We also have in that data lots of times people find out they're disqualified from buying a firearm, and they're really not. It's just their name is similar to somebody else's, and as a result, their rights get violated. So it works both ways. Sometimes wrong people are getting firearms that shouldn't be, and sometimes people who should be able to get them are denied the purchase. So I'd like to see the database cleaned up a little bit and kept more accurately, and that's something that the federal government and the states need to work on.
Cash and carry. No names. It's all legal. Everett says there's really no reason to file down a serial number on a firearm, as shown so many times on multiple police detective shows, as all the owner has to do is show a police report stating that the gun was stolen.
No paperwork, not a single sheet of paper. There is no paper trail whatsoever for law enforcement to follow if that gun changes hands, and winds up at a crime scene. It is literally, and I would encourage your listeners, go to gun shows in North Carolina. You will see private sellers operating out of tables. You will see them wearing billboards on their bodies and carrying guns and selling them that way. They'll just be lingering about, and they will literally be doing cash and carry sales. They will be selling guns to people, in many cases where they won't even know the first names of the buyers, handing them guns for cash. That is it.
CSGV is comprised of 48 national organizations working to reduce gun violence.
The seller has no legal duty whatsoever to conduct a background check or to maintain any record of sale. Now, if as a federal agent or a state law enforcement agent, if you could prove that the private seller knew the buyer was a prohibited party, right, and he sold him the gun anyway, you could convict or you could indict that seller. But the problem is, if that person didn't have any duty to conduct a background check, how are they going to know if the person's a prohibited purchaser, right? And are they really going to admit to you if they knew that the person was a prohibited purchaser, let's say from the conversation that went on before the gun was sold? We need to realize this is totally unregulated. There are no regulations. It is a free-for-all.
For more information, you can visit their website at csgv.org. I'm L.C. Morris.